The rabbis make two different kinds of enactments in general, two categories. They're called gezeros and takanos. A gezera is from like the word geder, by the way. Just remember, so yes, if you stuck around, which you didn't, most of you, but if you stuck around, we saw hevker, we saw that the base and the pay is interchangeable, so because it's the same part of the mouth, and so oftentimes in Aramaic and Hebrew, they're switching between like the dalet and the zayin also. So a gezera is like from like a geder, like a fence. Not a gezer, a carrot. And not a carrot. If anything, it's a stick. But it's a protective fence that they put around to protect the Torah. That's the gezeras. And like most of what you're mostly familiar with in terms of derabanans are typically gezeras. They're like, you know, all the derabanans that protect the spirit of the law and protect the doraisas and so on. Okay. There's a second category of things called takanos. A takana isn't to protect the Torah from being violated directly. It's to address a social change, if you will. Now, society's changed now, and even though the Torah in a vacuum, so to speak, is perfect, but if society... The Torah is assuming that society is functioning normally, society begins to function abnormally, we need to take changes to address things. And like with anything you do, there's, you know, unintended consequences. So and especially if the Torah is perfect. So obviously when you make a takana, on the one hand, you know, it's like... I think I remember telling you this, like the mashal, like when you're sleeping with a blanket that's too short, if you pull it over, you cover your face and your feet get exposed. So that's the nature of any, it's a perfect system. So when you're going to fiddle with something, so of course there's a downside. So here, the downside is obvious. You make it, so here the takana is to address the social change of people are being malicious and trying to, you know, not acting in good faith in terms of giving testimony. Therefore they make a takana. We're only accepting people who we recognize. The obvious downside there is that you have a hard time finding, much harder time finding witnesses, obviously. But takanas, you know, there are many takanas, you know, not marrying more than one wife and so on and so forth. Like, each has like a plus and a minus and so on. Anyway, so that's what a takana is. So now once we're talking about the takanas of the Beis Din with regard to the accepting Edom, so we had to do in reaction to what was going on with the Minim. So now we're going to take a bit of a sidebar and say another thing they had to deal with to change the system because of malicious activity. So it says, Barishona, originally Hayu Masin Masos. They used to lift up, I'm not translating.
Torches.
I don't know literally that means torch though, right? Lifted up things.
Beacons.
Yeah, okay. That's a good word. Something you lift up to show beacon. As good a word as any. The point is that what it is actually is a thing on fire. It's a stick on fire. We'll see exactly what it is in exact detail. They shake it around. The point is originally they've used a system of fire signals from hilltop to hilltop to get from here up to through the north, through Syria, and over to Babel, where the exile was. And that way they could know what day the month was sanctified. Again, so we discussed this before. What will happen is, it's only happening that they do this if it's a chaser, if it's a 29-day month. So in other words, when it's a sea on the eve of the 30th, so in the morning of the 30th, they'll testify. The basin will make the 30th day of the month, really Aleph of the new month. Then that night, which will be like Lael base of the month, they'll then wave these. They would wave these fire signals from hilltop to hilltop, and then within a matter of hours, you know, the whole of the Jewish world could know what the basin was Mekadesh the month, and that would be great. Of course, that would solve the problem of any doubts. In one day, everyone knows exactly what's going on. The problem is once you have malicious people shaking their own on the hilltops themselves, so then the communication system is no longer has no fidelity, and therefore they have to plan B, which was to have the shluchim, the actual messengers, which we saw. I remember I told you in the beginning of the Masechta, like it's written like totally out of order. The Rambam reasonably said starts it out by saying Bereshona used to like this, and then they had to adjust it, and later on send out shluchim, and only six times in the year, and so on. But anyways, our Mishnah is not like that. So our Mishnah is revisiting the issue of the shluchim and saying originally we didn't have shluchim, we had fire signals, and now we'll discuss how the fire signals worked. Okay. Now, in terms of when this fire signal system was abolished. It's interesting. There's actually a machlokus. The more authoritative sources, which is the Yerushalmi, says it happened in the time of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. There are other sources, it's hard to use as authoritative as the Yerushalmi, that are less authoritative, but they say it happened in the time of Rabban Gamliel Hazakin. There are two Rabban Gamliels, at least. I mean, there are lots of Rabban Gamliels, but there are two Rabban Gamliels that are important in the Mishnayos. The one that we usually see is Rabban Gamliel de Yavna. He comes up all the time. He was the one who took over from Yochanan ben Zakkai at the beginning of the after, you know, like in the 70s of the common era, prior to the destruction, he's the one who's always, you know, had his thing with Rabbi Yeshua and you know, Rabbi Akiva, that chevra. His grandfather, so whenever Rabbi Gamliel shows up and we're talking about something post Beis HaMikdash, so obviously that. His grandfather was also Rabbi Gamliel. Rabban again means Nasi. Rabbi Gamliel, who was about 50 years before the destruction of the temple. Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken, the elder, is actually, I think, a grandson of Hillel HaZaken. Okay, so there are others who say it was Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken, meaning, like, say, 50 years roughly before the destruction of the Second Temple, he abolished the system of the fire signals. Okay, that's less authoritative, but it's going to be very difficult to learn these Mishnayos if you learn that it happened post Beis HaMikdash, because remember that we're going to talk about Jerusalem all the time as being the starting point, etc. And remember that already they left Jerusalem and never really came back again to set up Sanhedrin after the destruction. So, okay, that's when you write your PhD, you can deal with that problem, technical problem. Okay? So it says, Berishona hayu masin masos. Originally they would lift up beacons. Misha kikul akusim. Oh, that's a little mission, I said it right. Once the kusim caused mischief. Now here, kusim are not, the kusim are the Samaritans in English, Kutites, and Samaritans. The story with them is, we've seen them a few times, in the first temple period, already with the 10 lost tribes that were exiled by Sancheiruf, they brought an alternate people from Kusa, I think it's in Crete, frankly, I'm not 100% sure, they brought an alternate people and resettled the land in northern Israel where the 10 tribes were. And these people were not interested in being Jewish per se, but the lions, their mountain lions up in the north back then, and they were attacking them, so they figured this must be the local gods and approve of our behavior, so they converted. But their conversion is like an ongoing topic of, you can see, it's, I think, Sugiyin Kedushin line A, I think. It's like their conversion was a ongoingly disputed thing, because they were called, like, you know, Geri Arayos with the Aleph, like, you know, lion converts. They weren't really sincere converts. And they were ongoing conflict with the Jews. You see the Sugiyos in Yoma about how they resisted the building of the Beis HaMikdash in Ezra. You can see in the beginning of Ezra, say, for Book of Ezra, they're fighting with the Jews. They're the real Jews and whatever. And they essentially rejected the oral law, but they were very, in many ways, they were very committed to the written law. In any case, they had a fight with the Jews about who has the rights to the land, because they stuck around when the Jews were exiled in the first temple period. So when the Jews came back, that's Ezra's time, they're like, well, we're here and we're the Jews and this is our land and you can get lost. So that is a conflict, and here they were fighting. So once they meet the Kusim, these Kuthites called Samaritans, called mischief, they're called Samaritans because they lived in Samaria. Hiskinu shiyu shluchin yoten. The basin was misaken, they made a takana, that the shluchin, like messengers, should go out.